Hello, we welcome you to another broadcast of Transforming Grace, which is brought to you by the Institute for Biblical Preaching in Cambridge, Ontario, Canada. My name is Roger Pascoe. We dedicate these messages to the praise of God's glorious grace, and we're confident that God's Word will not return to Him void, but will accomplish His purposes in your life. And we're trusting that as we bring you these messages from week to week, that they are accomplishing God's purposes in your life. We're trusting that these Bible studies together will build you up in your faith, will give you a greater understanding of God's Word, will lead you into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. So before we begin today, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for sending your Son to be our Savior. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for us on Calvary's cross. And I pray that everyone listening to my voice today will have already trusted you as Savior, and if they have not done so, that today might be the day when they will bow their knee to you. And so as we study your Word again together, we thank you for it. We thank you for its truth and its power and authority in our lives. We pray that you'll bless this Bible study. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're continuing then in John's Gospel, chapter 10. We've been there for our last two Bible studies. I thought we would have finished it last time, but we'll finish this up today. This is this beautiful passage in John 10, verses 1 to 9, where Jesus is teaching the Pharisees about true shepherds and false shepherds. And the picture that he's painting through this illustration of shepherds in a sheepfold and thieves and robbers is that there are true shepherds in the church and there are false shepherds. What he's really saying to these scribes and Pharisees, these false religious leaders, is that they are like the thieves and robbers who climb up over the wall to steal the sheep. They don't come in through the front door because the doorkeeper doesn't recognize their voice. The doorkeeper of a sheepfold always recognizes the voice of a true shepherd, but he doesn't recognize the voice of thieves and robbers. And so they don't come through the front door. They climb the wall or they come in a back door, and they don't come to lead out the sheep to good pasture and good food and water and to heal them and take care of them. No, they come to steal the sheep, to take them away from their shepherd, and to perhaps sell them to somebody else or to do with them whatever they wish. Those are thieves and robbers, false religious leaders. And I was saying last time that we need to be very careful that the people that we follow in our churches and in our Christian community are true shepherds, men and women who are gifted and called by God to lead God's people, men and women who teach the truth of God's Word, men and women who, by their actions and by their words, generate in us a response, that we respond to them by opening the door and by hearing their voice because we know them. We know that they're true. We know that they have our best interests at heart. We know that they're teaching the truth of the Word of God and that they're leading us in a way that is for our good. We know that about true shepherds of God's people. They issue a call and they call their own sheep by name. They know us. They know who we are. And they lead us out. They give us direction out of the sheepfold. They lead us to where we ought to go, towards Jesus Christ, towards those things which are good and proper. And they earn our trust, you see, because they're good shepherds. They're true shepherds. They're a reflection of the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they speak, we as Christians know their voice. We follow them. Because, you see, sheep will by no means follow a stranger. We know, through the indwelling of the Spirit of God, who are strangers and who are not. And strangers are people who don't teach the truth of God's Word. They don't teach the true gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't lead you towards Jesus. They lead you away from Him, and they lead you in a way that they want you to follow them and not Christ. And then we were at the end of our program last week, noticing that the true shepherds lead God's people by drawing us to Christ. This is verses 6 through 9 of John's Gospel, chapter 10. Let's read those verses together just to get the idea here. John chapter 10, then beginning at verse 6. Jesus used this illustration, that is, the illustration of a sheepfold with sheep, and the contrast between thieves and robbers and the true shepherd. He used this illustration, but they, that is the scribes and Pharisees, did not understand the things which he spoke to them. And then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." So Jesus is now applying the illustration to reality, and the reality is that he is the door. I am the door. Now, obviously, he's not speaking of himself as a piece of wood on hinges that you open to enter your house. He's using it as a way of speaking of himself, that he is the only way to come in to the sheepfold amongst God's people. I'm the door. You can't come in any other way. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the door to the sheep. All who ever came before me, all of those who ever came with a different message, with different intentions and motives, all who came in by some other way, they're thieves and robbers. They're not true shepherds at all. But the sheep did not hear them. True sheep do not listen to the voice of strangers, to the voice of thieves and robbers, because we know the truth and we know the voice of Jesus. Then verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And so then, in order for them to understand the illustration, Jesus graciously explains what he means. This is where we find the key to understanding Jesus' teaching in verses 1 to 5. First of all, Christ is the door of the sheep. We noticed this last week. I say to you, I am the door. He is the door for every true shepherd and every true sheep. Any shepherd who comes amongst God's people, any leader, any pastor who does not come through Christ is a false shepherd. They must come through Christ. All our pastors of our churches must be born-again believers. They must be Christians. They must acknowledge Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. That's what it means to come through Jesus, the door. He is the door. And anyone who comes in by any other way, who does not confess Christ, who does not teach the truth of Christ, they are thieves and robbers. He's the door through whom both the shepherd, that is the pastors, our church leaders, and the sheep must pass by faith in order to be part of God's people. Jesus is saying, I'm the only one through whom anyone gains true and proper access to the sheepfold. If someone comes in any other way, proclaiming any other gospel, pointing you towards any other person than me, then they're false shepherds, because there is no other entry into Jesus' sheepfold. I am the way. I am the door. And yet there are those who are trying to teach us false doctrines every day. Those who are trying to get us to follow false leaders every day. Those who are preaching about men of the past who were big religious leaders, but they weren't Christians. They weren't followers of Jesus. They weren't sent from the great shepherd to shepherd his people. They died and they were buried and they're gone. But our great shepherd died and was buried and rose again. And anyone who ministers among us, anyone who pastors God's people, must be someone who acknowledges and preaches the truth of Jesus' death, his resurrection, and his ascension. They must proclaim Christ in order to be a true shepherd of God's people. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. They were the men who came preaching some other gospel, pointing people in some other way, professing to be teachers of the truth, but in fact were teachers of error. They were thieves and robbers who are trying to steal the people away from Jesus by threats and by violence, because they persuaded many ignorant sheep to listen to them. And you know there are many Christians who are not properly taught, not properly built up in the truth, who are being led away by false teachers and by false leaders, false shepherds, led away. They listen to them and they sound so good, and they're influenced by their ability to speak and to preach, and their the charisma, if you will, that comes out of them. But the true sheep don't listen to them. They don't hear them. In fact, it says they run in the other direction. Well then, true leaders of God's people are known by the door they enter. You see, doors separate rooms, don't they? Doors separate a room from a hallway, for example. Or doors are the way that we enter into a building. They separate us outside from those who are inside a building. These doors can separate people. You may be in one room and some other people in another room, and there's a door between you. Well, by nature and by practice, we're separated from God, of course. By birth, we were separated from God. We were born in sin and iniquity. We were born as those who were separated from God, who rebelled against God. We were far off from God, the Bible says. There was a barrier, or a door, if you will, between us. And the guilt of our sin makes us fear Him. His holiness exposes us, you see, and keeps us at a distance. We don't want to be in the presence of absolute holiness when we know that we are sinners. And the light of God exposes us, lights us up for who we are, and shows the truth about us, that we were sinners and alienated. That is, we were separated from Him because we were rebellious against Him. We didn't want to know God. And so you say, well, how can we draw near to God? Well, Jesus has opened the way through the barrier, through the wall, through the door. He is the way to God. He's the door. He has opened the way into the holiest of all through His blood, so that we can draw near to God with boldness. It's through His blood, you see, because if we don't receive Jesus Christ as Savior, then we die for our own sins. God demands blood. He demands the death of the sinner. That's the punishment for sin. But if we bow to the claims of Christ, if we receive His offer of mercy and forgiveness, then God accepts His death on our behalf. God accepts His blood instead of ours. He paid the debt for my sins. He died the death that I deserved, and God accepts that when I receive His Son as my Savior. And now He can save to the uttermost all who come to God by Him. He gave His life that whoever will may come and receive Him. Whoever looks at the crucified one can be saved. He is the door. No one can come to the Father except through Him. So if somebody's telling you that there's some other way to God, if somebody's telling you that you can follow some other philosophy, some other way of living, that if you live by the golden rule, in the end, it'll all work out all right, that's not true. That's error. That's false teaching. That comes from a false shepherd. Jesus said, I am the door. He didn't say there are many doors that lead to God. He didn't say there are many ways in, but rather there's only one. I am the door. No one can come to God except by Him. So be sure you enter by the door, who is Christ. He's not only the door of the sheep, but Christ is the door of salvation. I am the door, verse 9 says. By me, if anyone enters in, he will be saved. True sheep enter and exit the sheepfold. By me, Jesus says. I'm the door. I'm the way in. I'm the way you go out. There's no other entrance into the sheepfold of believers. No other way. And He's the only shepherd. He's the true shepherd. He leads us out of the sheepfold. He takes us to green pastures to be fed spiritually and watered spiritually, to be built up and nursed and cared for and shown the way. And so He's the way out, if you will, as we live our lives. We follow him. We follow his voice. If anyone enters in, he'll be saved. If you come into the sheepfold through the door, who is Christ, you'll be saved. He's your shepherd. He's your Savior. Those who enter by him will be saved. It's by me, Jesus says, that you can be saved. Those who enter by him are rescued from their lost condition, their sinful condition, their rebellious condition that is brought about by our sin. And the way we're saved is to enter the door of salvation through Jesus Christ. We're saved from our enemies of sin and Satan and the world and the flesh by entering into a relationship with God, by being reconciled to God, by being made friends with God, if you will, through Jesus Christ. That's where we find safety and security, both for our lives here on this earth and for eternity to come. Have you found that safety and security in Jesus Christ? Have you entered the door of salvation through Jesus? Have you acknowledged that you're a sinner, you need a Savior, and that Jesus is the only one who, through his death, can save you from your sins and make you acceptable to God? Have you done that? If not, maybe you will do that today. That's the only way that you can find peace and happiness and security and safety. Outside of that, then, if you die outside of Christ without him, then you die in your sins and you will be judged for those sins and cast into hell. But if you want safety in the sheepfold, inside the door of salvation, you need to come through Jesus Christ. Christ is the door of salvation, and Christ is the door of freedom. Some Christians put up walls to keep some people out of the sheepfold and let others in. But there are dangers in this, you see, because if we start to choose who we think ought to be allowed in and who ought to be kept out, we may include some wolves, some wild animals with the sheep, or we may exclude sheep. We may keep sheep out who ought to be allowed in. The Christian church hides often behind spiritual security barriers. We hide behind barriers of the kind of language that we use. You know, that we need to use a certain spiritual type of language. And we keep out those who don't speak the same religious language that we do. Well, that's a false barrier. That's a false door. The only door to come in is through Christ. And sometimes we put up cultural barriers to keep out those who don't act the same way that we do. Perhaps they don't dress the same way. Perhaps they're too expressive in their emotions or too charismatic, and we tend to want to keep them out. We keep some people out because of theological walls or doors or barriers, keeping out those who hold a different view of things that are non-essentials. I'm not talking about the gospel now. I'm talking about some other views that we don't need to separate over. And sometimes we keep people out because of behavioral barriers, keeping out those who aren't mature quite in their faith yet and who do things that we don't approve of. Well, we don't need to and shouldn't approve of them, but we shouldn't keep them out of the sheepfold either. We should let them in, and they learn from us, and that's how their behavior is corrected and how they mature in their faith. The church should be noted for its freedom, freedom of access to those who come through Christ, not freedom to sin, not freedom to hold doctrinal error, not freedom to do as you like, that's not true freedom, but freedom to enter God's house, to be part of the family of God, to be a fully devoted member of the body of Christ. You know, sometimes I think in our Western world, some people are kept out by the color of their skin. Well, that's not right, is it? It's wrong. We're all equal before God. Men and women, whether you're slave or free, whether you're black or white, before God we are equal, and we only come to God and we can only be reconciled to God through faith in Christ, no matter who we are. Well, Christ is the door of salvation. He's the door of freedom to go in and out To have freedom in Christ is a wonderful thing, you know. Paul talks about that in Galatians chapter 5, to stand fast in the liberty wherewith we have been set free. We've been set free from the bondage of sin into all the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ. Not a liberty, as I said before, to sin. No, we don't continue to practice sin when we become a believer. But the freedom to enter God's presence, the freedom to enjoy Christ, the freedom to enter into our security that we have in Him for eternity. And notice this also, Christ is the door to nourishment. They will find pasture, he says in verse 9. They will go in and out and find pasture. He provides the food and drink of spiritual life from the pasture of God's word. He makes me lie down in green pastures, Psalm 23 says. He leads me beside still waters. He provides satisfaction for our spiritual appetites. Jesus said in John 6, verse 54, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. He says in John 7, verse 37, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Christ is the door to nourishment. When we eat from Him and drink from Him, we have spiritual nourishment, spiritual food that builds us up in our faith. Well, what are the lessons we learn from this illustration? Firstly, don't turn away from Christ, the door. When you approach a door, you have three choices you can make, don't you? Three options. You can turn away, or you can open it and go through it, or you can stand outside looking and wondering what's on the other side. If you turn away, you're a rejecter of the gospel and of the truth. If you open it and go through it, then that's a true believer. If you stand outside looking, wondering what's on the other side, you're just an inquirer, but you've never made the step of faith. The Bible tells us not to halt between two opinions. Don't try to find some other way into the company of God's people. So don't turn away from Christ, the open door. The second lesson is reject false religious teachers who intrude into the church by devious and illegitimate means to steal from the flock and lead people astray. And then thirdly, follow God's leaders, those whose message and practice draws us to Christ, who point us to Christ, who preach the simple message of Christ and Him crucified. Well, this has been a wonderful passage, John 10, verses 1 to 9. I am the door. I hope you remember it. I hope it's been good for you, that it has built you up in your faith. And if you've never trusted Christ, I hope that perhaps this message or these last few messages will lead you to enter into the door of salvation through Jesus Christ, to know your sins forgiven and be eternally saved. I trust then that this message has been an encouragement and a challenge to you. If it is, please let others know about this program and encourage them to listen each week. And so until we're together again the next time, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. May God bless you till we're together again the next time.